It's Monday, October 15, and the Chief is back from jolly old England, and we are ready to preview the 2018-19 NBA season as it begins this week. We both are expecting big things from the Milwaukee Bucks, but we'll give some of our thoughts on where the rest of the league will shake out. We'll discuss that and much more coming up on Tapping the Keg Podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at Mitch Ross MKE and at SnowTapWI. So without further ado, here's your host, Charlie Trichler.
Episode 309. Happy to be back in the building after a couple of weeks off. Thanks to Murph and Mitch for holding it down. Mitch on the ones and twos. Mitch, how are you?
Hanging in there. You know, we've been doing 309 of these now, as you just said.
Right.
And I'm not sure we've ever taped on a Sunday.
No, I think this is the first. It's kind of nice. It's a little relaxing. The studio, nobody's here. It's
on a beautiful fall Sunday.
Yeah, there's no real great games in the afternoon. The afternoon slate, pretty lame. Good night slate tonight.
Dallas is much like Seattle, where somebody needs to tell the NFL that they're not good.
Right. And they're playing well today. They're up 17-0 as we tape. But basically what we're going to do here is we're going to tape an NBA preview. And then after, we're going to do a daily tap to talk about, get you ready for game three, get you ready for 49ers-Packers. Also talk a little bit about the Badgers' embarrassing loss to Michigan. But we have to talk about the NBA because the NBA is upon us. It'll start on Wednesday. The Bucks open up.
So the league starts Tuesday. There's a couple games Tuesday.
That's right.
But then I believe the rest of the league goes Wednesday.
Yeah. So, yep. DFS, my DFS life will start on Tuesday. Good to know.
DFS life, baby. Tuesday night.
We're back.
Making money.
Hopefully. That's great. Good to have the NBA back. It's good to sort of, I think what I've.
Oh, yeah. I'm ready to roll, man.
I think it'll take till after the Brewers are done for me to really be like in on it. Like, granted, you were at the game on Friday, and Giannis goes off. Yeah, the Bucks game, and Giannis just goes off and has a triple double nearly in the first half.
25 minutes of play,
and the Bucks just looked as ready as they think have ever looked.
Yeah. And it's funny because they put up 143 points preseason. I mean, whatever. Minnesota's a mess,
right?
But as we'll get into, and they didn't score for the first two or three minutes of the game.
Right,
they were real sloppy. Real sloppy,
and
Coach Bud talked about it after the game, too. Like, there's some stuff we got to clean up, etc. But, they shot 48 threes.
Wow.
And made 25 of them.
So, this was your first game working as a media member, right?
Correct.
How was Bud as a post-game interview compared to Jason Kidd or Prunty?
Day one, I noticed he was 10 times better than either one.
Yeah.
I mean, Prunty is better than... I mean, Jason Kidd's just an asshole.
Right, exactly.
So, I mean, it's kind of... He wasn't ever, too crotchety. But, yeah, I mean, there definitely was, some arrogance. Where, and I think Bud is definitely a lot more willing to, give you a good answer.
Right.
And give you... Because obviously we all know by the end there, Jason Kidd, it was just the same bullshit every night.
Right, yeah. He'd just roll out the same tropes.
Right.
And it was like he would kind of spin a wheel of what do I want to say to the media.
It just got to the point where every other game they lost it was, well, we're too young.
Yeah.
And it got to the point where people were just so tired of hearing that. But I feel like Bud is much better at, if a reporter asks him a question, it's going to be, he's going to give you a thought out answer. I mean, or something detailed. So, I mean... Yeah, he's definitely, I think, just a better dude.
Yeah, most of the preseason stuff happened while I was overseas, but one of the things I saw that was a big grab for me was Jeff Teague's comment after the game about saying how the Bucks look like guys who've played together all summer,
mm-hmm.
and that they look like guys who've have chemistry already. Like they don't need to work on that. He's like, we do. It's gonna take us a little while.
Yeah, well, the Minnesota's going through a lot of stuff right now.
Well, for sure.
The Bucks they did an open gym in New York City,
right?
I think to kick off kind of the camp,
right?
And the kind of a an off the grid type of team get together. I think they do that stuff every year, but I'm not sure the coach has been involved.
Yeah.
So that's happening. That happened this year, and so they've been playing, open gym since probably middle of August.
Right.
All the way through to camp now, and I mean,
Yeah, I mean, it would not shock me if the Bucks came out like a pistol. I mean, I'm not. I'm limiting
expectations. I mean, they've
a lot of home games early on. Like, you can really establish yourself early and get out in what will be probably a tough Central Division.
Yeah, I mean, and you can probably go back in some of these podcasts from right after Bud was hired, saying, "Well, we're all excited, but there's probably going to be some growing pains," and you haven't really seen that in preseason so far.
Right. And I think the team's just responded to the openness, and they have the right pieces there, and they're ready to roll. Christian Wood makes the team.
Looks like it. Yeah.
And yeah,
that's official.
Yeah, it's official. And they're going to either try to trade DJ Wilson or maybe release him.
I'm thinking
keep Tim Frazier. I like Tim Frazier. I think Tim Frazier's
certainly good for I mean, could he? God forbid he's a backup point guard, you think, on this team? I mean,
maybe, yeah.
I mean, it sure doesn't strike me as, you know, I don't think Coach Bud cares too much about salaries. I mean, Tony Snell, I've always thought Tony Snell is probably good with the starters.
Yeah,
but it doesn't look like he's starting this year. They're just going to roll out the five best players probably.
Yep,
and start with Brogdon at the two.
I think the coaching staff will work really hard to get Tony Snell's confidence to that point where he doesn't have to play the starters, and he's just like, even if it's just, hey, hang out in the fucking corner, and just we'll feed you, you'll get the ball, like that's okay.
They're going to
I love the idea of just that openness of the basketball, as you mentioned. You know, 48 threes taken. You know,
the spacing is clearly
adapting to
emphasized.
It's they're playing, and that's kind of like a complaint, you know, with the Green Bay Packers, and I know I don't want to cross sports because I hate when people do that, but like one of the biggest complaints right now with the Packers, which a lot of people have it, is the fact that they are not caught up to the league. They are years behind of what the Rams are doing, what the Chiefs are doing, and last year it felt like the Bucks were like that.
Yeah.
And people bemoan that, like, nationally, locally, and now the Bucks are caught up, and so look out. And
Just having competent spacing is going to be just huge. And now you're going to see it's amazing that Giannis got 28 points a game or whatever he did last year with Kidd and Prunty. I mean, it's just compared to what's going to happen this year. I mean, I don't know literally where he's going to finish, but it's going to probably be at least 30 points a game.
Yeah, Tappers, I would recommend you checking out Kevin O'Connor's article about the Bucks. Like, Kevin O'Connor, definitely, if your Bucks boner wasn't high before reading that, you'll be like at full mass. Like, just explain how they're going to get Giannis into the post. They're going to have Giannis doing screens, like the pull-up threes. I mean, the pull-up three alone, that's so deadly.
Oh, yeah. If he can, he's done it at least twice televised in preseason, where he just brings up the court and pulls up and hits it right in their eye. And that's going to obviously make them step up on him a little bit. And he apparently has told the media, I don't remember hearing it from him specifically, but he told the media that, you know, I saw a tweet or something about it. If they give him a jumper, he's going to take it.
Yeah. And he should. And if he learns to do that, I mean, he's a whole fucking problem. He's the MVP. He could be the MVP of this league.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And
he's pretty much the favorite, isn't he, in Vegas? He's up there.
He's top three, probably. He was plus 500 last week. I don't know where everyone else stood. I'm sure Harden probably has better odds, maybe LeBron even.
Probably.
Because I will say this, like, Durant. If LeBron were to somehow get the Lakers to be a top three team in the West with the talent they have, you probably could make a case.
Yeah.
Without question.
Yeah. LeBron would. Well, he will definitely have, you know, some votes.
No doubt. And so, I'm really high on this Bucks team. I mean, you also have the Chris Middleton contract year.
That's the other thing too, is Middleton's he looks like you can tell he's been instructed to shoot more threes.
And he's
a dead eye shooter.
Right.
And so you can tell he's been instructed to give out some there's Big Will. you can tell he'll do step backs, the Ersan step back basically.
Yeah.
For Middleton and shoot a three versus a long two. Now, there was one possession in that game on Friday, right off the bat, where he was like, it was just like last year, where he got the ball in the corner and he backed the guy down and took a turnaround fadeaway and was short. And it was just like, oh boy, you know?
Right.
Have we reverted to our old ways tonight, guys? But then they started jacking threes.
Yeah, I think, you know, they'll get that on tape and they'll say, Chris, you got to stop that. Like, you can't, like, we'll take you out of the game if you're going to keep doing that.
Yeah.
Like, we don't want that shot. That is a bad shot. Aaron, let me ask you, as someone who's watched and someone who saw him in person, is Middleton in shape to start the year? Because last year,
He looks good.
He looked slow. He looked lethargic in October. He came on, late November last year, where he kind of really started to put it together?
He shot a pretty poor percentage on Friday, actually.
Yeah.
So maybe that, I hadn't really thought of it, but, he looks fine. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I'm more asking because I remember that being a complaint for us last year.
It is every year with him, kind of, where he's just kind of, it doesn't look like he works out in the summer. Right,
exactly.
He goes to Charleston or whatever and just hangs out and probably eats crayfish and all that.
Nah.
And
that's good little spot.
I'm sure it is. And good seafood down there. I can imagine.
Right on the coast.
Yep. So he looks fine. And another guy I'm kind of excited for is Pat Connaughton because he's going to be on the bench mob.
Wally Waukesha is very excited for Dele to Connaughton moment.
But I think that Bud's going to use him. He's going to be like a J.J. Redick.
Absolutely.
I feel like he's going to be a cheap J.J. Redick. Like he's not going to shoot as well. He's not as good of a player.
He's like 6'6", or is he 6'6"?
Nah, he's 6'4".
Okay, he's a little shorter.
He's shorter.
All right.
He's 6'4", I believe. That's his listed height. So he's a shorter two guard, but he's going to be nonstop movement. Coming off screens and just letting it fly.
How many thotty Milwaukee girls have slid into his DMs already?
I don't know.
He's a good-looking dude. he's handsome.
He's got the rooster type haircut.
Yeah, he definitely will.
He's got the dark and it's a little mohawk
a little
action.
Irish. You know, he fits a profile, thoughts of Milwaukee. You know,
yeah,
just slide right in. He definitely is an exciting player to watch. Someone brought up a funny point about how this will be the first time Malcolm Brogdon's playing in an open concept for his entire career. Like in college too, played under Tony Bennett, where it's just slower than molasses.
As rigid as it gets.
It's rigid, just uptight as all hell. And then you play with Jason Kidd. Now it's he's just going to have a rump springer like an Amish kid.
That's kind of like Eric Bledsoe too. Eric Bledsoe, a lot of people have been saying, he hasn't played for a good coach yet.
It would be amazing if Eric Bledsoe was an all-star this year. If Eric Bledsoe, who we all shit on.
Speaking of contract years, he's in one too. So.
Oh, yeah. So who has the better contract year, Eric Bledsoe or Chris Middleton? Both those guys are just going to just show me the money halfway through the year. They should just be doing money signs all year.
They're going to be.
Better have my money. And so then let me ask you, let's say both perform pretty well. Let's say they perform, I wouldn't say all-star level, but they perform really well. Who would you be more inclined to pay, Chris Middleton or Eric Bledsoe, or neither?
Chris Middleton probably is the obvious answer there for me.
I think so,
too. I think you just, you're kind of in that situation where you're like a Raptors situation from a couple years ago, right? Where you're a pretty good team. You're probably not, yet a champion, any type of Eastern Conference contender. And then they got they locked up DeRozan and Lowry and things kind of clicked all of a sudden and they were really good for the last couple of years.
Right.
So I think you're in a situation like that where you're not going to get a free agent, a big free agent to come here.
No, unless that they play such a style of basketball where say they win 62 or 63 games and they're a number one team in the East and Giannis is LeBron-like and then that spurs action.
Well, yeah.
That's the only way you do it is if you get that sort of, and people will take notice to that. And then it doesn't matter where you're playing. And they know that Milwaukee's a small city. You've heard it from Greg Monroe about how you can just sort of be your own person and you don't necessarily have to be caught up in the hype and all that. And so you could get somebody.
Possibly. I agree.
No. You're right. You're right too. That's a good way to be. What I can't stand from the national media, and we'll talk a little bit more on the Daily Tap side about national media.
The Alex Kennedys of the world?
Yeah. What the fuck? Why do we have to keep having this conversation about Giannis getting tired? And it's all speculation. It's all speculation.
Oh, yeah.
It's because...
Getting tired? I haven't heard that one yet. What's that supposed to mean? That he's doing too much?
No, getting tired of just the lack of... I don't know. This whole idea of, he's the small screen, the small,
That he's tired of it?
No, maybe I misspoke. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure what you mean. He's tired.
No, I think you're getting at.
Okay. Okay. I think what you're getting at is all the national media saying that he's never going to get anyone to come here, and big market teams are going to start swarming and saying that, you know, you can team up with someone, you know, in our city or whatever, and you know, get out of Milwaukee, and that's what I think is happening.
Yes. And I'll offer you a little,
because I think national writers know that he likes it here.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what I saw recently. It was like somebody wrote an article saying that everybody knows he likes it here, but teams are going to try to convince him that you can't win here.
Yeah, exactly. And so here, and I apologize, misspoke.
That's the only angle that they have.
Yes, exactly. And what I'm just sort of sick of is the fact that it just keeps getting brought up. And I'll offer you I'll offer you this hot take. I think NBA Twitter has become overrated because everybody talks about it. NBA Twitter used to kind of be this underground thing, and now they've made it a thing. And like Wob, who I still like to follow, he just overreacts to everything. Everything is petty. Everything is this. Everything is that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, just settle the fuck down a little bit. Like
Worldwide Wob.
Yep. Well, yeah, it's not just Wob. It's like he has a brand, and that's his brand, and fine. And people like to tweet at him because he responds and he retweets.
He's funny.
But like, he's not my king of NBA Twitter. Like, I like him, but I also think NBA Twitter has sort of jumped the shark a little bit. And there was too much NBA for me all year. Like, I got burned out by the NBA in like August and September. So I was like, all right, I'm just taking a step back. I'm not really involving myself in this. So I'm kind of happy I was in London because I didn't really even watch any preseason. I couldn't.
Yeah.
And so it was like, that was great. So yeah, that's a little bit of a, and that's the whole where that Giannis stuff. It's like they rated their drama rankings on ESPN. What teams have the most drama going into the season? It's like, so is this basketball or is this a soap opera? Mm-hmm. Like, is this a TV show? Or like, I like the drama. I think it's fun. But at the same time, it's about the games. Like, it's about, I want to watch great games. I don't want to, I don't really care about, you know, the one or two per year, fine. But not like every night. It doesn't have to be manufactured. It's not wrestling.
Yeah, and right. And that's what I was going to say, is that's where people compare the NBA to WWE.
Yeah,
because it's, you know, people think it's all rigged, and we all know who's going to win, and we do, but you know, and then you get you get these dramatic storylines where then it does almost become more about, you know, the locker room.
Yeah, something happens and it's like it's a little thing, and then they blow it out of proportion, and it's like someone likes this or they unfollow this person, or it's like. It's like these guys, and there was an article, I didn't read it, but there was an article about how there's a real concern that social media is like hurting the NBA,
really?
Like from the player perspective, not necessarily from the teams and everything like that, but from that they're worried that their guys are spending too much time on their phones and on Twitter and on Instagram, and they'd like them to spend less time on that, but they can't really do like tell them what to do,
right,
you know, and they've... Sort of, this is what they've made their bet.
Well, and it's only going to get worse because, I mean, now you're getting to the point where all these guys have grown up on social media.
And, like, Zion Williamson has how many followers on Instagram?
Right.
And all this other shit. I mean, it's...
It's not Kobe where, like, you know...
No, right.
He was basically like, done before social media.
You're watching YouTube tapes of, like, Noel Devine and Sam McGuffey, Grant, different sport. But you get my point. Like... It would be
that's a very good comparison.
OJ Mayo or something like that, where you were watching YouTube, like, oh, check this guy out.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't have a social media follower.
Thonmaker.
He was on Twitter, Thonmaker.
OJ is on a few social media platforms, but it's very low key. Like, I don't know if he's verified or
Uncle
anything.
Uncle Juice. Yeah, Uncle Juice hangs out. But when he was like, when he was in high school, that was like, that was a thing, you know?
Yeah.
So definitely interesting to see that sort of develop. That was a little tangent there. Who is the, I guess, Bucks player that you've sort of are most unsure about heading into the season?
Most unsure about? Well, man.
Is it John Henson? Is it Brook Lopez?
No, I'm not worried about Brook Lopez. Maybe Henson, just because like in order to keep him engaged, he had to be a starter,
right?
And he's going to have to obviously get into the mindset of I'm now a backup.
Right.
Where I kind of belong. I mean, I think Henson as a backup center is fine.
Yes.
He's making too much money. Sure. But, I mean, as a backup center, that's kind of his niche probably. Well, he needs to embrace that.
And at some point, you got to hope John Henson grows up. Like, we've talked about that on this podcast, and it's not a secret that John Henson is a notorious night goer outer. Like, he's out in the streets. He's at the clubs. And we have friends who are DJs who see him all the fucking time.
Yeah.
It's not a secret. So John Henson at some point needs to decide if he wants to just be a socialite or he wants to be a basketball player.
Yeah, I think he's fine just how he is. I wish it was different, but that's just, he is what he is.
Well, right, and that's DJ Wilson's problem, and that's part of the reason why. I mean, DJ Wilson didn't make, I mean, how many, he got clowned all year for not working out and not doing shit, misses the entire preseason, and now he's going to get cut as a first-round pick.
Somebody called DJ Wilson on Instagram this morning. A lesbian fashion model.
Ouch.
I think that was on Instagram. I saw that. That was yikes.
Yeah. I would not use that. I would not say that on my own account, but, you know, hey, to each their own.
Yeah, that was, I just thought it was, I got a little chuckle this morning.
So the return of the Ursan, or is there going to be a charge card in the stands? Just a Vux charge card?
Oh yeah, yeah. He had a nice. He drew a nice one on Friday. I think it was on Towns. He just snuck in there.
Love it.
Buckled up his arms and took the charge, and it was like, oh yeah, we're back.
Mary fuck kill for Wally Waukesha. Pat Connaughton, Matthew Dellavedova, Ursan Ilyasova.
I don't know. Probably Mary Ursan.
Yeah, probably, because of the charges and the
state. Fuck Pat Connaughton and kill Deli, probably.
Yeah, because Deli, you go back to the money thing, and yeah. But the Bucks.
I'm unsure about Deli, for sure, because like I don't know how much he's going to play. Because if Tim Frazier makes this team, and I think he's done enough in preseason.
Yeah.
I which is surprising to me, because I thought Tim Frazier was just bringing him in for a look for other teams.
Yep.
But, you know, Deli, at $9.5 million a year, I don't think I saw him make a shot in preseason. I mean, it's just, I don't mind Deli. He brings, you know, some leadership in his own way or whatever. But he's, you know, I'm unsure about where he's going to fit in.
With guys like Deli and Ursan, you could be at all time, like, get under other teams' skin, sort of. They get really piss some guys off.
And I think, too, Giannis is going to be a little bit of a shithead this year.
Oh, yeah.
He knows he's good now.
He dunked on Gorgie Dang.
Gorgie Dang, yeah.
And he got a tee.
Oh, yeah.
For
that was a weak tee.
It was a weak tee. I saw the highlight. He dunked all over his ass.
That was, you're lucky that's a preseason game.
Right, yeah.
That place would have blown, the roof would have blown off that place if that was a regular season game or a playoff game.
Yeah.
So that's right there with the Sterling Brown one last year. I'm still mad about that one.
Yeah, then that's another guy, Sterling Brown.
Another one to be unsure about is Sterling Brown, probably. Because I don't know where he's, I mean, to me, he's the backup small forward. But, you know, I don't know if he'll necessarily see it. Because I think you're going to see a lot of a jumbo lineup.
Sure.
Surprisingly, with where it's Brogdon at point, Middleton at shooting guard, Giannis at small forward, Ursan, and then Brook Lopez.
Yeah, it's a nice lineup,
too. Because that's good shooting around Giannis. That's going to be, I think you're going to see, and that's what happened Friday, was Ursan came in first for Brogdon.
Right.
I believe. So then you slide Middleton to the two, and you kind of had a jumbo lineup there, which I wasn't expecting to see that much this year, but it's worked.
Right. So, and I think Budenholzer is going to play a lot with different lineups. Yeah. I think the fact that we're talking about all these guys, like, not sure where they're going to fit, it's going to be, he's going to kind of be a mad scientist, a little Craig Council-like, where he's going to get to play with some different pieces, and I'm sure it's going to
piss people
Bucks
off.
But yeah, Bucks Twitter.
Well, maybe, I mean, but it seems like there's a method to his madness. I mean,
right.
There isn't, I mean, not once, you know, in that game was I kind of like, you know, not, you know, fourth quarter notwithstanding where the game was over at halftime. I mean, but not once during that when, because he said he was going to handle it like a regular season game, a final preseason tune-up, handle the rotations kind of that way, and nothing didn't make sense. The other thing, too, Dante DiVincenzo.
Oh, yeah,
the rookie,
Big Ray Goo.
It looks like he might, they're probably going to use him as a point guard. Or a primary ball handler.
I'll be weary on that. He did not do well in college when he was under pressure. He turned the ball over a lot. I mean, maybe he's grown.
I highly doubt he'll be in there as a primary ball handler day one.
No.
On a second unit. But,
exactly.
I mean, You'll see him out there with Brogdon.
Yeah, and
the second unit. Probably.
I feel like he's a great guy to bring to come in at the end of quarter, end of first quarter, end of the third quarter. Just
the thing about Dante is like
give you a spark. He can throw it down. He can
shot,
hit a three.
The shot hasn't looked good in preseason. I think that's kind of to be expected for a rookie.
Yeah, a little.
I think he's a fine shooter. I mean, he's probably not like gonna set the record for 3-point percentage or anything.
Sure.
But I think he's going to be a fine shooter as the season goes on. But he also provides a lot more, I think, than just a 3-and-D, stand in the corner.
No question.
I think he's a very athletic 2-guard.
Yes.
Very athletic 6'4".
Sneaky athletic
6'4", the MJ of Delaware, I believe.
Which nickname do you like better, Michael Jordan of Delaware or the Big Ragu?
I don't like the Big Ragu because that's Matt Ragacious. So I can't.
Oh, your boy.
I can never call him the Big Ragu.
But, I can't call him the Big Ragu.
I probably will at some point, I'm sure. You'll get a tweet out of me saying Ragu.
And that's the thing. He's also microwave. Like, the Bucks. I mean, how many times last year would we say, like, they just need that guy off the bench who can hit, like, 5 straight threes and just go?
Well, that's Connaughton probably, I think.
And Connaughton, too. I mean, they just have so many weapons. And you said this to us. We were hanging out yesterday, and you're like, Bucks could break the Warriors' wins record.
Now, that was hyperbole, but.
Right. But they should smash that over. I don't know what their over under is, but
it's like 47.5 or 48. I think that's easy.
Yes.
Now that you've seen a few games, I mean, I was telling people they'd win 60 before I even saw them play. And now it's like, it's so refreshing to watch. They're just so much better. It's so much more modern. And they do take probably too many threes, but like, that's what you have to do.
Well, right.
Because it's not about how many you take, it's how many you make.
And it's like, a guy like meeting like having his hot girlfriend and just having like all sorts of sex right now. They're firing because they just are in this weird, like, oh, I don't know. I'm just in the,
and Bledsoe talked too that it's made his job really easy. I mean, he's got two guys in the corner at all times, and just he's got Giannis out there. It's just he doesn't have to do anything.
Yeah. Speaking of Bledsoe, I'll be very interested to watch what they do late game, because I think one of the complaints last year with Bledsoe, shot too much down the stretch.
Yeah, he didn't defer.
He didn't defer enough, and so we'll see if that.
Well, yeah, that's definitely one thing to watch, because I think Giannis is at a point where he can start taking late game.
Exactly.
Shots.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah.
I mean, because he can blow by anybody.
Yeah, Giannis should be your guy. And that was the frustrating. That was what drove me and other Bucks fans nuts is like, how many times did Bledsoe take an ill-advised shot late in the game where it's like, dude, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
And the Bucks would win some of those games. They lost some of them, too. But where it's like, okay, well, whatever. Giannis either got a rebound or somebody was able to corral it. But I guarantee you that Bud's leash will not be long for Eric Bledsoe.
Probably not. I mean, I think he has enough options,
at
guard spots with Brogdon and, Delly in an emergency, probably.
Right.
And DiVincenzo, possibly, if he shows out early. I mean, he could certainly factor heavy in the rotation, I think. I think he figures to play a decent amount.
So what do you think is the, when will, like, Bucks Twitter, will be the first thing that drives Bucks Twitter nuts? Like, too many threes?
That was the first thing that came to my mind when I was saying, they shot 48 threes in the final preseason. They made 25 of them, which is a miracle.
Right.
I mean, they're not going to shoot like that during the season.
Probably not.
Very many times, I don't think. But there probably will be a game where they go 9 for 40, and that's not a very good percentage, and people are going
to
go nuts.
For the
bullshit we've seen the last few years, I mean, I don't really care how many threes they take. I mean, I like to think I'm smart, so like I don't know.
No. I'm just gonna jump. We're second or third level Bucks Twitter, and we will be able to jump on those assholes.
Not like this asshat that was texting or tweeting at me the other night saying, and they have a trash GM for letting Parker go for nothing, and I'm like, well, yeah, I was kind of frustrated too, but it's addition by subtraction.
I don't know where Jabari fits on this team.
No,
he doesn't fit. He doesn't fit with Bud's system, and that's what we do all along. We said that multiple times, and I just can't wait to smoke out. I'm not playing any favorites this year. Like if you come in with weak shit on Twitter this year, I will tell you right now. If my boy Eric finds it, because usually Eric will find it, and then he's kind of our like liaison to Bucks Twitter. That's how I see Eric.
He's the ambassador.
He's the snow. No, he's the snow. Yeah, he's the UN ambassador. He's like the UN ambassador. He's the snow tap ambassador to Bucks Twitter.
He
seems to find like just the dumbest shit and just smokes people out.
Oh yeah.
And so get blocked by a few people.
Or like, he brings the dumbest shit himself. So.
It's never done. Baseball's his problem. But baseball, he is not an ambassador. He should maybe tone it down there. But regardless, yeah, I'm not letting Bucks Twitter get away with anything this year. So to put sort of do you have anything else before we talk win totals, talk where expectations, playoffs, all that shit?
No, I don't think so. Let's get to it.
What do you think is a reasonable expectation? What do you think is – what would be a disappointing season in your mind, that everybody stays healthy, nobody gets hurt?
Right.
Whole shebang.
I mean, so if everybody, for the most part, stays healthy, I mean, I'd be disappointed with, like, 50.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I wouldn't be disappointed, I guess, because it would be the best season we've had in 20 years. But at the same time, I have higher expectations than that, I think.
I tend to agree. If they're, like, the four seed, I would be a little bummed out.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, that's what I'm saying, I guess. It's just like... I'm expecting at least home court advantage in the first round.
Right.
And if it doesn't go that way, that I'd be very disappointed.
And you got to win a playoff series. Yeah. You have to win a playoff series. And you just, it's like, I would love to get to the Eastern Conference Finals, but really just take that next step.
Yeah.
Just take that next step.
Brick by brick.
Yes, exactly. Brick by brick. Get to the division round.
Get the monkey off your back.
Yes, exactly. Because that is there. Yeah. That is a real thing.
Well, and that's going to really... I mean, you see a little bit of it now on the social medias. Of Giannis can't win a playoff series, which is kind of bullshit to me because he's had like one legitimate one.
Right. He's had played two of the best teams in the East of the last 5 years that aren't a LeBron team.
Right. So... You know, but if it doesn't happen this year, I think it's gonna be 100%. Legit.
Yeah, it's so, yeah, no question. You know, about
I mean, we've talked about it too. There's a lot of pressure on everybody in this organization, yes. To get over the hump. I think ceiling 65. I mean, honest to God,
ceiling.
You know, if everything goes perfectly, I don't think that it's ridiculous.
Ceiling is there. The talk of the All Star break, and they're the number one seed heading in. Bud's the coach of the East. Giannis is an All Star. Chris Middleton's an All Star.
Bledsoe might be an All Star.
Maybe. They are the talk of the town. And maybe are they looking for additions?
The toast of the NBA.
Right, exactly. Kind of like that Hawks team was, during the – they had like four starters, I think, that year.
Yeah.
So, that's sort of, I think, the ceiling. And then they're a legitimate finals contender.
I think – but then reasonably, I mean, I expect mid to upper 50s.
Right.
You know?
And they have a real home court advantage. I mean, I think, they have 10,000 season tickets sold. Correct. They're going to have –
I've heard and read and seen that the Bucks organization is doing what they can to make sure people attend those games.
Yeah.
They're not letting them sell them, stuff like that.
Oh, great.
Which I'm not sure is true, but I feel like I've seen that where like they're going to do what they can to make sure people come out to the games.
Yeah, I'm obviously going to try to get in the building, sooner rather than later, but I'm just sort of going to play how it seems. It's going to be one of those casual things, like get invited. I'd rather just get a quick invite from somebody who is just like, hey, I got extra. And then I think we and you had talked about maybe doing the Kings Bucks Sunday afternoon game before the Packer Patriots game.
Possibly.
That'd be a nice one. A little 2:30 start time.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Get a little lubricated before the Packer game. Might need it. It should be a really good season. We obviously will talk about week number one next week on Tabbing the Keg. They play two games.
Charlotte on Wednesday.
In
Charlotte, Indiana Friday.
And then home to play New York on Monday. And then the Sixers on Wednesday at home.
That's right, yeah.
And the big ESPN game, little
8:30
start.
Get used to that, Bucks fans. There's a number of those right off the bat.
Yeah.
Where they play those 8:30 times.
No, I'm okay with it. As a late night guy, I can do it. I can deal with it.
But
yeah, I know. You'll bitch about it a lot to me.
Absolutely.
And I'll probably tell you to shut the fuck up a couple times. Just enjoy it. You built this.
Alexi,
you made this.
Enjoy it. Smile. Enjoy it.
Lexi, smile. Be happy.
Smile. Enjoy it.
We might need that drop. That's a good one. That's underrated.
Yes, it is.
All right. The rest of the NBA. So staying in the East, the Bucks' biggest competitors are Boston, Philly, Toronto.
Which is funny because, we weren't that far removed from it being called the Titanic division.
Yeah.
And now with all those teams being bad for so long, now you're seeing the upswing where there's three great teams in the Atlantic division.
100%.
And then it's Brooklyn as well.
And Brooklyn, yeah. The Atlantic is obviously the class of the East, but the Central's very good too. I think what you'll see a bubbling storyline for the NBA this year in general is should you reorganize the East because the South is so damn bad?
Yeah.
And should you make it a little different and reorganize it? It's a touch.
Well, it's like the AL Central in baseball.
Right.
Oh,
100%.
I mean, it probably won't be that bad.
But it's going to be pretty abysmal. Yeah. I mean, the Wizards could win that division and be the sixth seed in six or seven.
Wizards will win 45 games and win that division by four games or whatever.
Exactly, because the Hawks are real bad.
The Heat have a lot of money tied up into average players.
But the Heat always seem to overperform because of Eric Spoelstra.
They have a good coach and they have good enough. They're like your Scott Skiles Bucks, right? Where it's like you got average, maybe slightly above average talent, a bunch of vets that are good enough and. You just kind of sneak in.
And you have too many teams who go out and get too drunk and stay at strip clubs
and
live.
Flu.
Yeah, the Miami flu. I mean,
it is real.
100%. Shout out to the Bears who it happened to in football. It's not just one sport. Like, Miami is just a tough place to play because of the nightlife around it.
Yep.
Especially at
the Heat, because the Heat is right on the strip, I think.
Yeah.
American Airlines Arena.
And you have the summer, and it's like 80 degrees in the middle of the winter.
Right.
So it's like these cold weather teams come there and they just fucking let it hang.
Yeah.
Like, don't blame them, but at the same time, it's like, I can tell you're hungover.
Yeah.
Like, it's not hard.
There was that famous Cavs Heat game, I think, last year.
Yeah.
Where it was like 40 to 40 at halftime or something. And I mean, it was just. I'm pretty sure it's Bob saying, here it is, the Miami nightlife getting to both these teams.
Well, what about the Bucks Sunday game they played the Heat where they just looked abysmal?
There were two games in Miami. I think they played two Sunday games in Miami. Schedule makers.
Yeah, fuck off, Adam Silver.
Can't give us like a nice Tuesday night or something.
Yeah, exactly. Keep everybody in.
Yeah. Keep everybody in. No dinner, this or that. No shenanigans.
We should have Doobie. Remember, Doobie wrote a famous column for Snowtap. What was that now? Snowtap.blogspot. So not SnowtapWI.
Wow.
Long time ago about breaking down J.R. Smith and different days of the week that J.R. Smith performed better or worse.
Yeah, I do remember that now.
We may need Doobie to do like a follow-up years later and just look at Miami and look at how teams perform on Sundays, Mondays, Tuesdays.
Like just give him an office and just let him start crunching numbers.
Just like put it like Charlie Kelly in Always Sunny chasing Pepe Silvia, where it's like, well, you got Monday, you got Tuesday, you got Friday.
Yeah, just put them in an off, put them in a, give them a spreadsheet and just.
And a pound of weed and just let them go to work.
At least.
Yeah, that might be selling it short. But no, yeah. So yeah, that sounds the best. But yeah, the Atlantic's really good. It's going to be a really fun division.
Central, you've got Bucks, Pacers, and I think we both agree the Bucks are better than the Pacers and they should finish higher than them.
Yeah, I don't really get the national media sort of love for the Pacers. I feel like it's maybe because they had such a good series against the Cavs and LeBron, where they took LeBron to seven, and Victor Oladipo obviously took a leap last year.
I think there was a lot of things, I shouldn't say a lot. Like, Darren Collison led the league in three-point percentage. There's no way that happens again.
Oh, yeah. The Pacers, talk about
there's a lot of regression to mean things. But their team is deeper than it was last year.
Yeah.
I'll give you that. I mean, Kyle Quinn, obviously my boy.
Yeah, your boy.
Got him for $1 million. I mean, I'd rather have Brooke Lopez,
probably. The Mitch Pratt All-Stars.
Yeah, yeah.
Mitch Ross All-Stars, sorry.
Yeah, you're fine. And then Doug McDermott, I mean, he's done nothing in his career. I don't understand how he got that contract.
Because he's white and he fits the Indiana model. Come on.
Mike Pence, big fan.
Mike has a jersey.
Oh, yeah.
He's made a phone call or two.
I think the national people think Tyreke Evans is good for some reason, too. Because he was good for Memphis last year when he had to be.
Yeah. Tyreke Evans is the classic Jabari Parker is Tyreke Evans. Like,
that's the
Spider-Man meme. Like, they're just... good players on bad teams.
Tyreke Evans has had a Brandon Jennings career trajectory, except he's probably more talented.
Oh, 100%.
So he's hung around where he peaked his rookie year and he hasn't done anything since.
And Tyreke Evans also, too, can get overweight really quick. He's one of those guys who just, it seems like he just does not keep himself in shape.
Keeps a little lining of blubber on him, you think, sometimes?
Yeah, a little bit. Every now and again.
Can it come up to a cold weather Indiana?
Hell yeah. A lot of food there.
He must have got fat in Memphis last year then. Man, all the ribs down there and stuff.
I would, if I was a beat reporter in Memphis... No.
Just forget it?
Yeah, no. I'd be an M&M away from holy shit.
Yeah. Like, oh, yeah, just a Tic Tac away.
my shoes would be hurting.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, so, Indiana's solid. I mean, they are, and they're probably going to win. But I think there's some concerns, too, around what they're going to do with Sabonis and Miles Turner.
Yeah.
Because I think they're going to try to play both those guys together, which, I don't know. Apparently, I was reading that they're not, like, the advanced stats don't like that, you know, those two guys playing together. So they're probably going to end up having to either move one of them. But
I'd move Miles Turner personally. I think Sabonis is a legit player. I think he's really good.
Yeah.
And think he's a tough.
I'd take Miles Turner.
I would take Miles Turner too.
I mean, I don't know if I want to give him a big extension, but
no.
Then Thad Young's pretty good. Well, he's pretty good he's a nice little four.
I don't know. I just, Thad Young is like a DFS darling. Like when a guy's going up against Thad Young, you're just like, okay, give me these.
Oh.
Like that's how I see Thad Young.
And then Bojan Bogdanovic, I don't think I've ever seen him miss a shot. So
he's a fucking asshole.
Yeah.
He is a Bucks killer to the team.
Well, yeah, I've never seen him miss one.
He would be.
I was watching the Bulls and Pacers, a little bit of the preseason game on ESPN the other day, and he's just out there banging threes.
Bogdan's a first team Bucks killer.
Yeah, probably.
Andre Drummond also makes that first team.
That's a transition to the Pistons, if
Pistons
you want.
Pistons are Dwayne Casey's.
We both think the Pistons
upgrade.
Are sneaky.
Yeah, I mean, a significant upgrade.
And
you
said in the pre-show meeting that you probably wouldn't want to see Detroit in a first-round series. I don't know if I would either because, yeah, Drummond and Blake Griffin, I mean, Giannis cancels him out. So I'm not too worried, but we do have Brooke Lopez, who is a big-ass body. And
yeah, he's done well against Drummond, I think, actually.
True, and he doesn't... The thing about Brooke is, like, his rebound numbers aren't great, but he does. He's like his brother, where he'll box out for people.
Right.
He'll just get his big ass in there and just, you know, move a couple guys out. But Drummond is a little different story. That guy's as big as a house.
Yeah, Drummond's really good.
So, I don't really love Reggie Jackson, but he's healthy, ostensibly anyway.
There's a little chemistry issue there, though. Reggie Jackson, Drummond...
Reggie's kind
Griffin,
of an asshole.
Yeah.
Blake Griffin was at the Michigan Wisconsin game. Which,
oh yeah, sliding in DMs all over the place.
He was taking photos and working the crowd big time.
Oh yeah, Blake definitely got his D1.
He felt like he was back in Norman, Oklahoma.
Right.
Back in a college town.
Well, I got to give Blake some credit though. Like, obviously, it'd be pretty tough to get traded from LA to fucking Detroit.
And obviously, the national people bashed that so hard, and they beat that dead horse.
Right.
Saying, "Oh, I'm going to move to Detroit."
And
now.
Like,
but he's taking it in stride. I
100%. And he's, I mean, I know. I'm probably biased because I've heard him a few times. I'm part of my take, but he's like such a good guy.
Oh,
like, he's just a good dude. Like,
I think he's probably like a little asshole in him because he's such a comedian. But I like Blake Griffin.
I could hang with Blake Griffin though.
Yeah.
You tell me.
I don't think he's as good as he thinks he is.
No.
But he's in terms of basketball player. But yeah. I think he's a fine person.
There's a lot of people in life where they think they're better at their job than
they
really are.
I mean, the Pistons have kind of that issue. Where you have Reggie Jackson, who's not that good, and he thinks he needs to take 20 shots a game. Probably.
I can see Dwayne Casey and Reggie Jackson having some real issues.
Yeah, I think Dwayne Casey's kind of a no-nonsense type of guy.
Yeah, exactly.
And but that's kind of how Stan Van was too, right?
Right.
So
we'll see
what happens with Detroit. I think they're right in there with Cleveland. That they're probably a bubble playoff team.
Yeah, and who knows with Cleveland? I mean, Colin Sexton has some little bit here and there.
I think he's going to be given the keys to the fortress.
Speaking of Rumspringer, is Kevin Love going to have sort of this awakening?
The LeBron's gone. I don't have that. I'm not going to get blamed for everything. He's got that drama gone. So I think Kevin Love will be fine this year, and you kind of forget about him, actually. And he's the big money guy.
Oh, no question about it.
On Cleveland. So
yeah, they have some
Slam
tools.
Decker.
Slam Decker in the building.
Hopefully he gets some minutes finally in his career.
Yeah. It'd be nice. I think Slam Decker is a decent basketball player.
I feel like he's got minutes there for him in Cleveland.
Right.
Jetty Osmond's gonna play. I would imagine he's gonna be their starting small forward, but I think Decker should be right behind him.
Yeah, he should probably be the eighth, third guy off the bench.
Yeah, probably something like that, you would think. And then you got Tristan Thompson still.
Yeah, Tristan. I can't stand Tristan Thompson.
He's a great rebounder, so he's a Bucks killer.
Right. Exactly. Another guy. Probably second team. I'd put Tristan on the second team of the Bucks killers.
Right.
We might have to. That
way too many offensive rebounds.
To me, that feels like we gotta watch like probably 2 months of Bucks basketball so we get a real good vibe.
Put together the all Bucks killer team.
That sounds like a great great holiday podcast.
I'll try to remember to take notes.
We'll just have to just keep a list.
I mean, that's an hour podcast itself.
Oh, 100%.
It's just like, I mean, CJ Miles, his first team.
Oh, CJ Miles. Oh, God. CJ Miles has done more damage to my life than most people.
Absolutely.
But yeah, no.
Because he's, oh, yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah, fuck CJ.
He's getting mad thinking about
it. Yeah, exactly. CJ Miles is what David Freeze is to, not that level. But still,
No, not quite that level.
Yeah, right. He hasn't hurt us that bad.
Right.
All right. So in the East, my eight are Boston, Milwaukee, Toronto, Philly, Indy, Detroit, Miami, and Brooklyn.
I believe I had this drafted out myself. Let me see if I can pull this up.
I'm getting the sexy pick of Brooklyn. I don't care. I will take it. If they lose, they are a little sexy. They are definitely that Instagram model that you might look hotter just because of the filters and how much makeup she wears. But yeah, I'm okay.
Okay, so I wrote this out about a week ago, I think.
Okay.
I have Toronto, Boston, Milwaukee third.
Okay.
So I lied on the way in.
That's fine.
Philly fourth, and we haven't really touched on them too much here, but I think we both agree that they kind of stood a little too pat in the offseason.
Right.
If you're not getting better, you're getting worse.
I think the whole GM drama, yeah. Like, I think Elton Brand's going to be a fine GM.
There was an article out there, too. I don't know if it was from one of their, Keith Pompey, maybe, their beat writer up there, that there's significant owner meddling going on right now in Philly.
Yeah.
That's how, you know, Hinkie got fired, and then you had the whole Colangelo disaster. So, and then they went with Brett Brown as the face of the organization, essentially, and then they didn't want to do that going forward, and the owners meddled, and that's why they think they settled on Elton Brand as an inexperienced GM, just to be a puppet, essentially. Basically a John Horst.
Okay. That's not great.
So I think there's some front office messes going on there. I have Indy fifth, which I believe they were last year, right?
Yep.
Miami in here. I must have talked myself into that somehow. Washington and Detroit. Cleveland and Brooklyn on the bubble.
Yeah, I kicked out Washington after our pre-show meeting where you're like, there's a lot of issues there. I'm like, yep, but Scott Brooks is the coach.
Mm-hmm. True.
Scott Brooks on the bubble of like first coach fired this year, where if they start off weak, that he just gets the heave-ho.
Probably.
Yeah,
I would say he's definitely up there.
Yeah, his ass is hot.
I can't see anybody else. The other thing about Toronto, though, too, is they have a new coach as well. So we'll see.
Yeah, Nick
that's
Durst.
One thing.
But he was kind of
he's been with the team.
He's kind of deemed as a genius. Yeah. And he was sort of the guy
he's been with the team for a number of years, I believe. Yeah. So hopefully it shouldn't be too much of a step back for them. But I definitely like Toronto. Boston will be good, don't get me wrong. I mean, Brad Stevens is, I think the GM said he's better than Greg Popovich now.
I would say that's accurate.
Yeah.
And I really think that.
I don't know if you want to go to the West now, but I was. San Antonio is an interesting one because I don't think they're going to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
And it just came to my mind, like, now is Pop's act going to be cute anymore? I mean, if they're not very good.
No, I don't think so. I mean, I've said Pop's act's overrated for a few years
absolutely
now. He treats people like shit and people think it's funny. It's just like Nick Saban. It's like Belichick at least like will do stuff here and there. Will give you a cookie. But like Pop just thinks it's like funny. It's like the funniest thing. And he's like,
could be a dick.
And he's like, he's all woke about all these social issues, just like Joe Madden. Like, it's the classic stuff that drives me crazy about people. Pop thinks he's bigger than the organization, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. And he probably is. I mean,
well, right. But I think then for San Antonio, it'd be great for them to tank and get a top pick and then sort of restart their franchise.
Yeah,
and
just kind of sort the story with them is, you know, obviously they have Tim Duncan retired. They replaced him with, you know, they have Pau and LaMarcus Aldridge.
And DeMar DeRozan.
Pau is old. LaMarcus Aldridge is not getting any younger. He's been in the league for like 15 years.
Yeah.
I mean, and now DeJounte Murray, who was their he's their best prospect. I mean, he's the guy that they've been grooming for a couple of years now.
Yeah,
he was a highly kind of touted prospect out of Washington. He's from Seattle. And he fell to the Spurs in the draft a couple of years ago, and now he tears his ACL.
And then I think Lonnie Walker is also out for
I think
like
he's hurt
to
as well, too. So, he looks pretty good, too.
Yeah. No,
they're in an identity crisis right now where
no question
that their big three is now officially gone. Tony Parker looks weird in a Hornets jersey.
Yeah, that's strange.
You know, so and Manu has retired and isn't gonna play games or anything or stick around. So he's gone, and they have kind of an identity crisis.
Of all
so
the teams to start out in the West, we start with San Antonio. I mean, it was a good it was a fine transition.
Yeah,
but there's so
well, they're interesting. I mean, the West is very interesting. Obviously, there's a lot of good teams.
Yeah, the West is. I mean, the fact that there's going to be so many must see like 9:30 ESPN games this year, basically because of LeBron and because of all the teams that LeBron will be playing on a regular basis. And the question is,
you're going to get four Golden State Laker games.
Oh yeah, they'll be fantastic games every time out.
And I've got Golden State, Houston, Oklahoma City, Utah, New Orleans, Denver, Dallas, and the Clippers.
Okay, so I'll talk to you about a few of those. So you're in on OKC with Melo, and the fact that Melo's not there anymore,
correct,
and that they're just gonna.
I feel like that's such a problem, and it's funny that like Golden State and Houston both added probably two of the biggest team killers.
Yeah.
And DeMarcus Cousins and Houston adding Carmelo.
I am fine with Houston adding Carmelo Anthony. I think it's Team USA Melo all over again. I'm more in on that because of Chris Paul. It's the Chris Paul factor. Because I think Chris Paul, while
is it
going to
let Melo fuck around?
Nah. Right. I don't think he lets him. I do not. I don't think that is.
And Chris Paul is probably one of like two people that Carmelo will listen to.
100%. And that's so. And with Boogie, it's a definite put up or shut up time. Okay, dude, like you want to do this, like fine. You want to make this superstar team, and they think he might be back in January. But if like he royally fucks up the Warriors, if somehow, some way, Boogie is just such a problem for this team.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. He kind of becomes like, what's his ceiling? What's left?
And I think he'll be fine this year because he's got to go get a contract. And that's the only reason he joined the Warriors was to obviously, come back from injury. There's no pressure on him.
Yep.
You know, he joins the Warriors for $5 million or whatever, basically.
Yeah, to ring chase.
Basically the mid-level exception or whatever. He took that, and I actually caught Bob Myers as their GM.
Yeah.
I caught a little interview with him, and he was saying that how that went down with Boogie, where they called him. Boogie's camp called the Warriors saying, I'd like to come play for you. And Bob Myers told him, well, we don't have your market. Like, we don't have that type
of
flexibility. And he's like, I know what you have, so, I'll take that or whatever. And he's like, okay. You got him there, but it sounds like he's coming back sooner than you think.
Right.
So Golden State shouldn't be an issue. I mean, they're going to win 65-70 again.
Sure. But it might be the last year of Golden State because Durant probably on his way out.
It's going to probably be, I mean, they're on the downslope.
Isn't Clay a free agent too next year?
I think something like that. Yeah, they got some guys coming up.
So yeah, it might be the last sort of hurrah, the farewell tour, if you will, of the Warriors of old, and if they can win it again, and that would be their fourth title in 5 years,
something like that.
Houston obviously interesting. I love Utah. I'll probably watch every primetime game that Utah is a part of.
Utah is gonna be good. Donnie Mitchell
and Rudy Gobert,
Jingling Joe.
Marquette honorary Marquette alum Joe Ingles. He was wearing a Marquette shirt in the ice tub, and Jay Crowder got him on his IG story.
Oh yeah, he must have got the shirt from Crowder.
Yeah,
they got Jay too.
My boy, I love Jay Crowder.
He's
more
good.
Than,
he's a nice little bench guy for sure.
Exactly, 100%.
I think New Orleans is going to be good.
So I have New Orleans not in my playoff team.
Really?
Yes. I know.
So you have one team from the Southwest.
Yeah,
Houston.
I have Golden State, Houston, Utah, OKC, the Lakers, Denver, Portland. And Dallas.
See, I don't have Portland in there. I'm buying into a little bit to the. They're kind of messy.
They are messy, and maybe if they start off slow, Terry Stotts, another guy whose hot seat is very hot to start the year. If they start off slow, I think Damian Lillard is a premier trade candidate or CJ McCollum.
Yeah,
we've debated a couple times in this podcast whether you'd rather have CJ McCollum or Damian Lillard. And it seems like they were more inclined to trade Damian Lillard than CJ McCollum, at least from what you heard was that last trade deadline over the summer a little bit. So who knows? Maybe Damian Lillard does get dealt, and maybe he's another guy. I think what you'll start seeing more of is you'll start seeing some of these teams in the West trade to the East, because the East sees the opportunity of these lower-level teams to say, all right, we can bolster our team, like Miami adding a Damian Lillard or Jimmy Butler, who we can talk about next. Or, you know, Washington may say, okay, we'll just do a Damian Lillard for John Wall swap, and we'll wash our hands of this.
Trash for trash, essentially.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, not really, but it's the same concept.
It's basically we're just...
Just hit a reset button.
Hit a reset button. We're going to try this again. I actually think that would be a bad deal. But you know what I mean, though, is like... I think you're going to start seeing that a little bit more. And I think Denver definitely has all the pieces to be really fucking good.
Yeah.
Like, I love...
See, Denver missed out, but they also... Paul Millsap missed significant time last year.
I love Jokic. I think Jokic is going to be an all-star this year. I think he might be a starter even. I'm big on... I'll buy it.
If you look at centers, they're really... I mean, Rudy, maybe, but like... Unless Anthony Davis makes it as a center.
Oh, yeah. Jamal Murray, too, is, I think, a really, really good player. He doesn't play a lick of defense, but he's a solid, solid player. The Nuggets, and also, too, they have the home court advantage with the altitude. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is just a really tough place to play, and Dick Stockton thinks they're in the NFL. I don't know if he caught that today.
He called them the Broncos the Nuggets?
That fucking fossil definitely did. He said... LA Rams against the Denver Nuggets.
Nice.
Just retire, you old fuck. I don't know how Fox can keep trotting him out.
And then
he's so embarrassing.
And then I've got Dallas in there, which is sneaky, but we're both Luka fans.
Dallas is like the sexiest IG model. Like, they are the league pass team, the league pass darlings with Luka and with Dennis Smith Jr.
Yeah, no question about it. And Dirk kind of taking probably...
The victory lap.
His victory lap here at some point, for sure. So you're gonna have him in there, and
they have a solid squad. And Rick Carlisle, our boy, we love Rick Carlisle, definitely friend of the podcast, even though he's not our friend, but he's definitely a friend of the pod.
And then I have the Clippers around the eighth seed.
Okay.
I mean, I think Lou Williams,
Shai Alexander.
Shai Gilgeous Alexander.
There's some Shai hype.
Patrick Beverley.
Who missed
almost all of last season.
Another friend of the program who's not actually a friend.
Right, who I would love to trade for.
But, give me some Pat Beverley.
You know, you got him now. Jordan's on the Dallas now, too.
Oh, DeAndre. But they have Montrezl Harrell, another guy I really like. Montrezl Harrell.
Is he going to start?
Maybe, yeah.
I can't think of who they have in front of him, but yeah. I think the Clippers can be sneaky, and Doc Rivers is not my favorite coach, but I think he's good enough to get this team to the playoff with what happened to them last year, where they started off so bad and almost made it.
As someone has brought up, Doc Rivers seems to be better when he doesn't have a star player.
Tobes, too.
Oh, yeah.
Tobias Harris has gotten better every year and nobody notices. And he's a good baseball player. He's a good basketball player.
When are you going to get, like, either a Tobias Harris jersey or, like, a signed photo?
I don't really care about him anymore.
No, you do. You love Tobias Harris. Do not hide your love for Tobias.
I did in 2013 when that's the kind of guy we should be coveting and trading.
That smells like a Christmas gift for you. just a signed photo of Tobias. I bet I could get that pretty
cheap. Tobias Magic jersey?
Maybe. I'll take a look.
No, that would be a slap in the face, not a gift.
Yeah, actually, that would be. You would just say, you'd look at it, you'd say, okay, throw it on the ground. Take out your dick, like, and just
you know
piss
that
all over.
You know that big fat Philly Eagles fan,
yeah,
who wiped his ass.
That pussy?
Yeah. That dude's hilarious, but he wiped his ass with the hat. That would be me.
Yeah, no,
he goes out in the desert and just wipes his ass.
I would not disrespect you with with that. So, all right. So to wrap it up, who is your finals prediction?
Man,
I didn't. I mean, might as well, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty easy to take Golden State. Maybe I'll say Houston.
Okay.
Why not? I'll say Houston.
Boogie fucks it up, and it's Houston versus...
I'll go... Oh, my God.
Do it.
I can't take the Bucks. No way. They're just not there. Maybe. I don't know. I mean, God. Oh. I don't like Boston that much. I mean, I don't... Man... I know everybody's taking Boston to go to the finals.
Yeah.
I just don't see it. I don't know.
It's really funny that the odds makers, like, the most popular finals bet in Vegas is Boston-LA. I mean, it's not shocking.
Yeah.
But I would be stunned
I didn't have the Lakers in there in my playoff, which is probably a mistake. They'll probably make the playoffs with LeBron. But Toronto, I guess.
Oh, wow. Houston, Toronto, feel the noise. It's Harden. It's Lowry. It's the finals on ABC.
Yep. All well, right. Kawhi. It'd be Kawhi Leonard.
Sorry. Forgot. I fucked up.
Harden guarding Kawhi Leonard?
Still, I don't get, I think that would not move the needle like Golden State Boston.
No.
Which I know is the popular pick, but I'm going to take it because the NBA doesn't take much thought when you go into a finals prediction.
No, not really.
Golden State Boston would be an amazing series just for the fans, and I think Brad Stevens versus Steve Kerr would be incredible.
This is his moment, Brad Stevens.
We'll see. We will see.
Yeah, that's there's nothing wrong with that.
So I'm really excited to talk about NBA all year. I think it's really cool that even if the Brewers exit next week, this week, that the Bucks will just take the baton right there. And it's not like 2011 where when the Brewers ended, we were like, oh, God, we got to watch the Bucks now. it's like, oh, great. Like, we have Giannis. So it's just one or the other. And how we haven't got, like, a Sports Illustrated, like, roundtable with Giannis, Aaron Rodgers, and Christian Yelich, like, people are fucking up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, get on that. Like, can Snowtap do that? How do we get that?
I don't think that's not in the budget. Nah, I don't think.
Three goats. The three wise men of Wisconsin.
That would be nice, though.
That might be a t-shirt. Christmas, yeah. Three wise men of Wisconsin.
Yeah.
I kind of like that. I don't hate that, actually. Maybe.
The wheels are turning.
Yeah, a little bit. Murph's going to like text me tonight and be like, dude, you should make that. All right.
Oh, dude.
All right.
That sounds like a t-shirt.
All right. Well, anyways. We'll be talking about NBA all year. All right, so thanks for tuning in. We appreciate it.
That's the NBA preview right there.
That's the NBA preview. It's always a pleasure to do this with Mitch, so look forward to it. We'll talk to you guys next week, back to a normal Tapping the Keg. We'll talk Bucks first week. We'll talk Brewers. We'll know where they sit by then. Yeah. We'll also talk about the Packers as they'll be on bye and maybe tied for the lead in the NFC North.
So, or on life support. We'll see.
Or on life support, and we all freak out. All right.
They lose to CJ Beathard.
Oh, God. For Mitch, I'm Charlie. Take care, guys. Have a great start to your week. Happy to be back with y'all.
Peace.
See ya.